Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. David Langford here today, and we greet you in the most holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I pray that your day has been touched. If there's been a void, a vacuity, a measure of emptiness in your heart, that God has filled that void with his presence. You know, God is the great difference maker. Oh, what a difference he makes in the lives of people. Those who follow Christ, those who serve him, not themselves, but they serve the Lord. Their lives are constantly enriched by his word and by the Holy Ghost. The two, the word of God and the Holy Ghost, make such a difference in everyone's life who will yield and submit to him. In the coming days, you must press inwardly. I don't know the amount of time that we have until it all unravels and the great tribulation period begins. I do believe it will begin at the Temple Mount. It will begin in the spring of the year. You add 42 months to that, 3.5 years later. Christ will return in the fall of the year, fulfilling the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles. The Scriptures guide us and direct us. Psalms 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word will show you the way. God's word will teach you, instruct you, correct you, reprove you, and rebuke you. The Word of God does it all, because the Word is Jesus, the Lord Christ. It is through the Word of God that we receive insight concerning everything, even down to the time of the end and the second coming of Christ our Lord. I encourage you to read your Bible faithfully. Don't read it for 2 weeks and then lay it down and not read it for two or three more. Read the Bible every day. Every day. You need to be consumed with the Word of God. You need to be literally holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy consumed with God's word. I love his word. I love the revelation that I receive from the word of God. I love the edification and the strength I receive from the word of God. I know it's been about, 10, 12 years ago, I was on my knees praying. And when I got through praying, I just stood up and I sat down in my chair and I flipped open there to Psalms 41 and verse 11 jumped out. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. Now that'll make you want to shout. That'll make you want to praise and magnify and glorify God. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy hath not triumphed over me. You're standing, I'm standing today, because God has not allowed, tolerated, or suffered the enemy to triumph over us. He's kept him at bay. That doesn't mean you're not going to have persecution or tribulation or pain or sorrow or grief or suffering. Doesn't mean that. It just means that God will preserve you and Satan will not prevail. He will not triumph over you. That excites me because my God says, I won't let the devil triumph over you. And that lets you know you got favor. By this I know that thou favorest me because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. We're going to have battles, times of pain, suffering, and sorrow, but it will not triumph over us because Christ is for us. Amen. I played a song yesterday by Gerald Wolfe as he's leading this choir. Glory to his name. I want to play another one today by Gerald Wolfe entitled, There is a River. There is a river and it never runs dry.
And her soul
That river is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. John 7:38, He that believeth in me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John 6:35, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Christ is both the spiritual bread and the spiritual water for sustenance in our lives. Amen. And I'm so glad he can have a place of residence in all of us if we just simply serve him and love him with all of our heart. He will take up residence in our lives and abide with us. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Once you drink of this living water, once you partake of this living bread, the bread that came down from heaven, Jesus said, you'll never hunger, neither will you thirst again. We examined Daniel 12 and 7 yesterday. I want to go back and look at it again. I know I was redundant, repetitive, in saying the Great Tribulation is only 3.5 years. Why did I say that? Why was I so adamant? Because that's what the Bible says it is. That's not what I say it is. That's not what other so-called prophecy teachers and scholars and theologians say. It is what the Scriptures say. Because the question was asked, Daniel 12 and 6, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Christ is responding here. We believe the man here in verse 7, Daniel 12 and 7, is God, Jesus Christ. And he said that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now, as I said yesterday, the doctrine of a seven-year tribulation is not scriptural. It is based on Daniel 9 and 27. That whole teaching is based upon Daniel 9 and 27, which says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, meaning 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That speaks solely of a covenant. It doesn't talk about the tribulation. It does not talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb. It talks about a covenant. I'm going to go back today and read and share with you the time frame, the time period, according to the Holy Writ, the Scriptures, the Word of God. Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. This is the Antichrist. Here in Daniel 7:25, this is the Antichrist that speaks great words, blasphemous words to be exact, blasphemous words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High. By the way, it doesn't say Great Tribulation saints. It just says saints. And think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand He's rendered this power until a time and times and the dividing of time. The Antichrist is given 3.5 years. Now, I will not argue the point that he will not be in office, manipulating, maneuvering to get to where he wants to be to fulfill Bible scripture. But when he gets there, Revelation 13:5 says, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies." See, that's what Daniel said there in Daniel 7:25. He speaks great blasphemous words against the Most High, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. When he is revealed for who he is at the temple, Passover, the clock starts ticking, and 42 months, time, times, and half a time, or 1,260 days, the commencement begins. The time clock begins then. Again, today we're looking at, but we're going to look at it more thoroughly, Daniel 12:7. "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." The great tribulation will begin. There'll be 42 months. At the end of the great tribulation, Jesus will begin his second advent. How do we know? Well, because he told us there in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus made it clear. Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Again, if men are honest, scripturally honest, they're going to see that Jesus said exactly when he's coming. He says, this is Christ talking. It'll be read if you have a red letter edition Bible. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. It's the great tribulation. The sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. This is exactly the message that the Apostle Peter taught on the day of Pentecost. Nearly word for word. Well, where is that in the book of Acts? Acts chapter 2, let's begin at verse 18. "And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above." I want to stop there just for a moment. Wonders in heaven above. I hope you see that. "I will show wonders in heaven above." What does he say in Daniel 12:6? "How long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" Word for word. This is the message at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to lay it out succinctly that you can put it all together. Let's go to Matthew 24 again, starting at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken. That's what Peter said. That's what he said in Acts 2, verses 18, 19, and 20. Let's go on. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. That's Matthew 24, verse 30. And then shall the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I cannot define the length of time it will take Christ to come from heaven to the earth, but there shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and all the tribes, everyone of the earth, they shall see the Son of Man. See, that tells me the whole world, the whole cosmos is going to be darkened. It'll be dark in America. It'll be dark in Europe. It'll be dark in Asia. That way everybody can see him coming in this radiant, glorious light. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He's going to be so glorified and illuminated, the whole world will see it. Are we not told that in the first chapter of the book of Revelation? Does not the book of Revelation tell us the same identical thing? Revelation 1, 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Every eye shall see him. How can every eye see him? Because the whole universe, the cosmos, will be darkened because the sun nor the moon will give their light. Looking back at Matthew 24, 30, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Whoa, stop right there. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Where have we read that before? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16, 17, 18, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. Matthew 24, 31. He shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. A trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Where do we see the angels gathering, reaping the harvest? Matthew 13. Matthew 13. The disciples wanted to go pull up the tares. He said, no, 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 no. Because as I taught that several years ago to you, the darnel, or better known as the bastard wheat, its roots grow around the roots of the wheat, trying to usurp nourishment and sustenance. So Christ knew if you pulled up the tare, you'd pull up the good wheat. He said, oh no, wait until the time of the harvest. And as I said, there's only one harvest. There's not several harvest. Every farmer knows there's one time in the year when you harvest the crops. Now there's a method of planting grain, beans, or corn early enough to try to get in a second planting if it is enough time in the zone where you live for there to be sunshine and warmth. You can do that some a little here in North Carolina. But you get in the breadbasket of America, you don't have a chance. The weather's not conducive. So the point is, there's only one harvest. And the angels are the ones that go and reap the harvest. They're the ones that Christ is going to send. And these angels are going to reap the harvest. They're going to take out everything that is offensive. See? Matthew 13, 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. It is the wicked that God is going to remove out of the earth. Matthew 13, 49. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The angels are going to do this. Matthew 13, 39, the harvest is the end of the world or the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned into fire, so shall it be in the end of the world or the end of the age. And we're talking about the Great Tribulation. Will have been finished. Then we'll see the advent of Christ as he comes to the earth. Let me give you the other passages. I gave you Daniel 7 and 25. Daniel 12 and 7. That's the verse we're exegeting yesterday and today. Revelation chapter 11 verses 2 and 3 read this way. But the court which is without the temple leave out. And measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months, 1260 days, or time, times, and the dividing of time. The Antichrist will be a Gentile. I know there have been those who have said he'll be a Jew. He'll be a Gentile because that's he's given, the outer court. He comes in, he profanes, he desecrates, he stops the daily sacrifice and says, hey, I'm God. Jesus told us this would happen in the book of John. This man of sin will be revealed. Jesus said, I'm come in my Father's name. You receive me not. Another shall come in his own name. Ye shall receive. He's talking about the Antichrist. The Antichrist. I'm going to come. He's going to come in his own name. Jesus came in behalf of the Father. He did not come in just his own name. He said, I come in the Father's name. John 5 and 43, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. 2 Thessalonians 2, 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He's God. He's going to declare, I am God. Revelation 11, 2, and 3. But the court which is without the temple leave out, measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles and the holy city, shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. They shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. This is your counterbalance to the Antichrist, the two witnesses. Revelation 12 and verse 6. And the woman, meaning Israel, fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 1,260 days. See, all of these numbers are the same. None of them speak of a 7-year time period. Revelation 12 and 14. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent, or from the face of the devil. What's the time period again? Time, times, and half a time. Nowhere do you read a 7-year tribulation, a 7-year marriage of the Lamb in heaven, anywhere in the book of Revelation whatsoever. It does not exist. Finally, Revelation 13 and 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 1,260 days. Or time, times, and the dividing of time. This is all the length of the period known as the Great Tribulation. So when people are out there throwing this ideology of 7 years, they cannot prove that. It's just lip service. It's rhetorical jargon. Now getting back to Daniel 12 and 7, and I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half, and when he, the Antichrist, shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Again, nowhere does the scriptures decree or declare a 7-year tribulation. It will be at this point in time, at the close of the 3.5-year period, that the prophesied events concerning Israel will be finished or completed. The man who makes this oath is without doubt a divine person, namely Jesus Christ. Nowhere in Scripture do we have record or evidence that an angel ever made an oath to God or to man. Now, Satan will seek to utterly destroy all of Israel during the Great Tribulation. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. We read that in Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob or Israel's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. There will be a faction saved out of Israel during this period known as Great Tribulation. Satan will seek to destroy all of Israel during the Great Tribulation, but his victory will have been to scatter the power of the holy people. Now, there will be a lot, no doubt, that will die in Israel because of war and the Antichrist. When Israel's as we see Israel right now in their spiritual state, it is imagined to understand this verse, or hard to grasp this verse, not imagine it, but hard to grasp it, that he will have the power to scatter the power of the holy people. All these things shall be finished. Verse 7 here calls Israel the holy people. As a nation, Israel no longer walks with Jehovah, but they are called the holy people, and that is based solely on God's covenant with Abraham. Looking at Israel today, the homosexuality, the perversity, the evil, etc., etc., looking at this passage, you'd say, well, they're not a holy people. That's true. But they're holy in the sight of God because of God's covenant with Abraham. Abraham was a godly man. God made covenant with Abraham. And let me say this. Abraham brought nothing to the table. Abraham did not bring anything to the covenant. You don't bring anything to the covenant yourself. You bring yourself just as you are, in your sins, in your wretchedness, in your debasedness, and through the blood of the Lamb. You are cleansed and made whole and justified in the sight of God because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That old song, just as I am. You come to Christ just as you are, and you come in contrition, conviction, realizing, understanding you're lost. God cleanses you, takes the sin out of your heart, takes the sin out of your life, and he washes you spiritually in the blood of the Lamb. Now you're justified. Now you're sanctified. Now you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. Now, you can break the seal. You can break the seal wherein you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Ephesians 1 and 13, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The sealing of you and I through the Holy Spirit of God is an earnest down payment to us that God is who he says he is, but there's more coming. And that more will be the day Christ returns and these bodies are transformed from being corruptible bodies to incorruptible bodies, from going from mortality to immortality. The Spirit of God presently is a down payment, an earnest money down payment, redemption. Yet the day will come when the body will be redeemed. That's not happened yet. You're aging every day. Another wrinkle, a half a dozen crow's feet, hair getting thinner, grayer. You're becoming weaker. You're trying to stay strong, but you can't. Why? It's called death. It's a process. You want to stay vibrant, full of vitality, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not reality because we are living in a clay jar and this mortality has been cursed. Cursed because of sin. But praise God, Jesus made a way of atonement for us all when he went to the cross. I want you to understand, we are to rightly divide the scriptures. Sadly, we live in a time when people are no longer rightly dividing the word of God. They even castigate, they malign God's word. People twist scriptures. I hope between yesterday and today, I have made it very clear, vividly. You see clearly, vividly. You see Daniel 12 and 7, that the great tribulation is only 3.5 years, not 7. This is why I kind of chuckle and snicker under my voice when people say, well, the tribulation is 7 years long, but we really don't know what happens the first 3.5 years. I laugh at that because it's not 7 years long. That's why they don't know what happens the first half. Because Jesus got the first half of Daniel's 70th week. And it was during that 40-day fast back in 1994. And that one little word, after, that tells us Jesus got into Daniel's 70th week. After Daniel 9:26, and after 62 weeks, now you got to add the other 7, that makes it 69 weeks, so it could read, in all honesty, both spiritually and intellectually, in all honesty, it could read, and after 69 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. That's taking the 7 weeks from Daniel 9:25. You add it to the 62 weeks, Daniel 9:26, that's 69 weeks. But it says, after 62 weeks, or after 69 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. The key word there is after. After today, I will go to New York tomorrow. So that means this day will end. Tomorrow's another date and another time. I've said this, but of course people don't take to heart some of the things I say. It is no harder to believe that the Great Tribulation begins in the last week, the middle, but Jesus already got that. So the time gap, the time frame, is in the middle of the week. Not at the beginning of the week, but at the middle of the week. Jesus went into the 70th week, then he was cut off. He got the first half of the last week. Therefore, the Antichrist gets the same exact amount of time that Christ had, 3.5 years, no more, no less. These are the little nuances that men read over. They don't search it all out. They just hypothesize and say, well, this is what I believe it is, and go on. There's a reason the word after is in that verse, Daniel 9:26. And after 62 weeks, or after 69 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. So it was after. So he went into the last week, and he got the first 3.5 years. Now we have been in the church age, the church dispensation. And as soon as the Antichrist is revealed at the Temple Mount, I believe we'll be at Passover, the clock starts to tick. And how long will it tick? Time times half a time. How long will it tick? 42 months. How long will it tick? 1,260 days. This is not rocket science. You know, I'm humbled many times by people who write me or send an email or whatever. They say, you make it so simple. Well, that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. I had a man who stopped me the other day, and we're now on the 2 affiliates here in the Charlotte area, Channel 46 WJZY, 5:30 on Saturday mornings, and WMYT Channel 55 on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. And this man that was watching me on Sunday mornings, he came up to me. He had seen the telecast. Of course, I didn't know who he was. He knew who I was. He said, "Man, you have a gift." And I said, "The gift is not mine. It was given to me from the Lord." He said, "You make it so simple. You make it so plain." That's the way we ought to try to teach the scriptures and not twist them and convolute them and make them say this and make them say that or believe this or believe that or just take my word for it. I don't ever expect anyone to take my word, never. But I expect you to take and embrace and believe the word of God. Because when old David is buried and gone on to be with the Lord, the word of God will still be standing. You know, I don't know how much time we have left. You've heard me say this repeatedly throughout the last 8 to 10 years. I've accepted the fact I will die before the Lord returns. I could be wrong. But I have accepted that fact because my grandparents believed emphatically they would be alive when the Lord returns. My parents believed they would be alive when the Lord returns. I have believed I would be alive when the Lord returns, but I'm pragmatic also. I'm 68 years of age. I mean, I'm realistic. Time will come and go, and men come and go. You know, one of my concerns is who's going to be left to preach the purity of the Word of God. I can see clearly how the next generation accepts the Antichrist and the mark of the beast. There are people who don't go to church, who do not serve the Lord, who do not love the Lord, but they believe in the mark of the beast. I have a friend. I'm 3 months older than he is. He has a business called Holmes Incorporated, manages real estate. He'll tell you in a minute. He don't go to church, but he'll tell you in a minute, "I'm not taking the mark of the beast." But when my generation, and there's just a handful younger than me who understand the scriptures about the mark of the beast, but then you get these kids 15 to 20, 25, they don't even know who God is. How about some weeks ago on Jeopardy, you know, Alex Trebek, of course, he's deceased now. I don't watch it anymore because he's dead and gone, and I don't care about the new host, so I don't watch it anymore. I always loved the challenge, especially when it got to the biblical parts. I enjoyed that part profusely. But they gave a clue. "Our Father, which art in heaven," they left out the next word, "be thy name." Not one of the three contestants knew the next word was hallowed. Not one. Not one. What does that tell you? This nation is forgetting God. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day of our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Give us our daily bread," etc., etc. The point is, nobody knew "hallowed be thy name." You have a faction of people who know nothing about God, so the acceptance will be easily accomplished by Satan. And the greatest tool, and I've said this for years, the greatest tool is deception. Matthew 24, 4 and 5, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." See, I'm disliked because I preach what they say are the negative scriptures. He's negative. Look at the battery in your car. It has a positive side. It has a negative side. God has a positive side. God has a negative side. You as an individual have a positive side. You have a negative side. That negativity tells you sometimes, hey, you better not do that. That positive side says, hey, go ahead and do it. You're going to succeed. It's just a human nature to be positive about some things and negative about other things. That's because we are the offspring of God. As I said yesterday, the offspring of God. Acts chapter 17, that's what Paul said. Because we were created in God's image and God's likeness, we have dual parts, positive and negative. Sometimes in your life, things seem to be very negative. Other times in your life, things seem to be very positive. Times in your life, you look at things negatively. Other times in your life, you look at things positively. You have both sides. You would never be able to appreciate joy and happiness if you weren't discouraged or depressed at times. You realize the value of feeling good in your heart, feeling good in your mind, feeling good in your spirit, feeling good in your body, because you know what it means to not feel so good. You know what it means to be discouraged, to be beleaguered, to be bewildered, to be tired. We experience both sides. Job said the same thing. Shall we not experience good and evil at the hand of the Lord? God allowed it, but it wasn't God dishing out the negative. It was Satan dishing out the negative. But God allowed it. Staying in the scriptures are like at the bowling lanes when you go where you go to bowl. You know the little bumper guards they put up for kids so you don't throw gutter balls. They don't throw gutter balls. Well, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit are bumper guards. They keep you out of the gutter. If you're not in the Word and not seeking to be led by the Holy Spirit, you'll fall into the gutter. See, God took a person like me from the guttermost to the uttermost. That's the transforming power of Christ, our Lord. That's what he does. We were wretched. We were miserable. We were poor. We were blind. We were destitute. We were miserable. But Christ came into our life, and he changed all of that. Romans 5 and 8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Be like the Bereans. Search the scriptures and see if these things be true. The next time a friend or family member tells you the great tribulation is 7 years, say, can you show me that in the scriptures? Of course they can't. You say, well, let me show you what the scriptures say. In Daniel chapter 12, and then look at verses 5, 6, and 7. They're going to see then the length. And of course, we begin Daniel chapter 12, and that phrase in verse 1, and there shall be a time of trouble or great tribulation, such as was since there was a nation. Rightly dividing the scriptures. And I know there are those, till Jesus comes, will corrupt and twist the scriptures. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. I hate to say that, but Paul said it. I preach what the word of God says. There are many which corrupt the word of God. I'm not saying that. Paul said that. Through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. Paul is telling the church at Corinth, there are many, many corrupting God's word. I mean, it's getting to be insane. All the homosexuality, transgenderism, ordaining sodomites, homosexuals, transgender. And I read some time ago, even Chris Christie. Somebody pray for him. He needs a weight loss program in his life. But he's embracing transgender surgery. I don't want that man being my president. I don't like the one we got now. And if he falls by the wayside, I'm not going to like the one we're going to get. And by the way, quit looking for a man to deliver and save America. I appreciate the good things that Donald Trump done, but a man's not going to help this nation. It's going to take a move of God. We're going to have to seek the face and the counsel of God for direction. Personally, this is not prophecy. This is not a thus saith the Lord. Personally, I don't perceive Donald Trump going back into office. I could be wrong on that. Because that's not a thus saith the Lord. Now, I know there's a lot of thus saith the Lord that he's still the president. That's so cynical. He's still the president. You know, God recognizes him as the president. Why is our nation being ruled by tyrants? Tyranny. People, you know, people put a lot of stuff on God that God hasn't never been a part of. And all these false prophets, my God. No accountability. And by the way, false prophets and prophecies have come like horoscopes every day. People want a prophetic word this day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's not how God works. We have the word of the Lord because prophecies fail. Quit looking for a prophetic break or prophetic word every day. Read your Bible. That's where the truth abides. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Monday.
Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.